You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Well, I was quite taken aback the first time someone said to me, "I won't be attending your pity party." Now, that was especially true because it was my boss and my mentor in my very first appointment. He was a brave man when you think about it, because at one point he had six clergy on his staff, four of whom were fresh out of seminary. Now, you talk about a challenge. And truth be told, when we think about this subject of pity parties, you really don't want anyone to attend your pity party, because then you're going to have another thing to keep track of, another way to say that you have been wronged, and you can just keep that long list going and going. And when I reflect back on those days, I will say it, we young clergy were a whiny bunch. I'll let you in a secret, that's the hallmark of newly ordained clergy. We're whiny. We knew that we had all the right answers because we had been exposed to the latest scholarship and ideas. We were sure that the ancient clergy, and that included anyone that was over 40 years old, did not really have any kind of a handle on current trends. It was a time when the sky was the limit for us, because it was still during those days when it did not take an act of God to grow a church. And yes, there were a lot of pity parties. And over time, it was a well-natured joke in the office, to the point that one of the support staff printed up business cards that said, "In the spirit of good taste and the guidance of basic social etiquette, I kindly decline the invitation to your pity party." Yes, some ways, the only appropriate response to a pity party is really simple. Get a life. Jonah was one of those biblical characters who had perfected the art of the pity party, perhaps only surpassed by Job. In the closing verses of this tale that we heard today, he would demonstrate yet again just how good he was at feeling sorry for himself. But what was different than most pity parties is that God chose to attend. Now, we catch up with Jonah after his tantrum over the redemption of Nineveh. An adult tantrum, friends, is never a pretty sight. But God chose to be very patient with Jonah. God had shown grace to Jonah even when Jonah was complaining. So we're told in this story that God provided this wonderful plant to grow over him and to provide shade from the hot sun. And it sheltered Jonah so that he stopped complaining and fell asleep. Now, this really would have been a perfectly good place at which to end this story. Jonah had calmed down, chilled, as we like to say nowadays, and God had shown great grace and care for the frustrated prophet. Happy ending. Well, we sure got a different ending, didn't we? Instead of a tranquil ending, Jonah woke up the next morning to discover that the plant which had protected him from the sun had now withered up and died. And it was at that point that Jonah couldn't help himself, and he started his by now familiar rant, "It is better for me to die than it is to live." By now, you almost want to say, "Go for it, Jonah." But we don't say that. We don't say that because it's a story from the Bible, and certainly all is going to be well, right? Wrong. God was quite amazed and asked Jonah if it was really worth lamenting this bush. And it's about right now that we really need that whale to come back and swallow up Jonah and put him out of his misery, and at least prevent him from another ridiculous statement, right? Oh, whale didn't come back. Instead, Jonah responded, "Yes, I am angry. I am angry enough to die." And then there comes this surprise ending. The surprise ending is that the prophet never in the story gets it right. God was incredulous that Jonah had more compassion for this bush than he did for all the 144,000 residents of this sprawling city, Nineveh, and their animals. At least he should have had some concern for the animals, right? What does this mean? Well, it seems like this was God's way of saying to Jonah, get a life. It really is a strange story, friends, isn't it? These 6 weeks as we've looked at this tale of Jonah. We have a hero who's really not very heroic. God tries again and again and again to get through to Jonah, but Jonah, instead chose to be hard-headed. And as I suggested last week, it's very hard to believe that this story even survived because on some levels it is so very, very contrary to the rest of the Hebrew biblical texts. You see, the prophet, we might remember, was always to be a corrective voice to Israel. Instead, the prophet now was sent to Nineveh, a city of Gentiles. God was supposed to wipe out and destroy all the enemies of Israel. Instead, God offered a powerful act of redemption and grace. The prophet was supposed to see the error of his ways. Instead, Jonah probably lived out the rest of his life in a pity party of gargantuan proportions. Israel and Judah were God's chosen people. Instead, God suggested that the people of this great city were also of his concern. These, friends, were very challenging notions because it presented what up to that point was now a very, very different understanding of just who God was. And in this was also a statement that was now consistent with the belief that all people are children of God. And in the context of the time in which this story was told, this was a most radical story. Now, it really is a lot of fun to sit back and laugh at this tale, to look at Jonah, his ridiculous behavior, and smile over the silliness of all of it. And that is certainly the case until we pause and we consider the points that made this an epic tale, and we end up realizing that the attitude of Jonah is alive and well, living among us and living in us. We have our pity parties, don't we? We have our prejudices. We have our fears. But even more important, and what I believe is the real story of Jonah, is that we have some very, very strange notions about God. It prompts me to think of an image that has run around in Christian circles off and on, and perhaps you've heard of this notion of keeping God in a box. Keeping God in a box. You see, Jonah desperately wanted to keep God in a box, and I'm not sure that we're really that much different. So what do I mean by God in a box? Well, to keep God in a box, it starts with some very subtle work that we go about trying to create God in our own image. We have a need for God to make sense on our terms. We want God to think like we do. We want God to get angry about the things which anger us. And most importantly, we want God to condemn the people we don't like. You get the picture. When God is in a box, we are the ones that are in control. And keeping God in a box is also a statement about a possession. God belongs to us. God belongs only to us and not to anyone else. And friends, it's the kind of argument that continues to be made by sectarian groups of the faithful who believe their way is the only way. And if you don't do it that way, God abandons you and you're going to burn in hell, as numbers of people strangely believe even to this day. Perhaps the biggest reason to keep God in a box is when we put God away in a tidy little box, there are no claims upon us. We don't have to change. And we can blithely go along living our self-absorbed lives. It's the direct opposite of getting a life. Or let's modify it and instead say getting a real life. A real life. The message that emerges from this story is that we really seem to think that we can have our religion without having to consider God's hopes for us, and more importantly, God's hopes for all of the creation. You see, Jonah really did not want the God who had appeared to him, the God who challenged him, the God who offered an alternative view of reality. Jonah did not want to deal with the God who to him seemed to indiscriminately offer redemption and grace and hope. Jonah wanted an exclusive God who thought the way he thought. Jonah wanted God in a box. Well, friends, there is an antidote to this dilemma. And it's found in this dynamic that takes place between God and Jonah. It's about getting a life, a real life, that is not focused on the petty, but that looks at the bigger picture. The challenge, of course, friends, is that getting a life, a real life, requires letting God out of our little boxes. And when we let God out of the box, God sure has a habit of meddling in our comfortable existences. True? When God is out of the box, we are called to aspire to a culture of radical hospitality that embraces all of the human family, all of God's children, regardless of the represented religious tradition. When God is out of the box, we have no choice but to examine our own past practices and acknowledge that the faithful have been just as capable of being the faithless. When God is out of the box, it becomes our responsibility to call out the fearmongers, the buffoons, the narcissists, whose goal is only to take advantage of others in order to build themselves up and control people, even when it is against the people's own interests. When God is out of the box, injustice is not acceptable, especially if we are a part of the people who continue acts of oppression. When God is out of the box, we are able and equipped to become our best selves. When we let God out of the box, we realize that we are loved, that grace abounds, that redemption can also be our story. When God is out of the box, we begin to really understand the magnitude of God's love and God's hope. You see, friends, letting God out of the box is life-giving. So the question's before us. What are we going to do with our little boxes? And if we were to open them up, what might the world become? Are we willing to get a life? a real life? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.